shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, welcome. I want to say TGIF, but it's not Friday. It's only Tuesday. It was Friday.
And to me, it feels like a Monday.
Does it feel like
a Monday?
I told Nick,
I can't say happy Monday.
Oh my gosh! I feel like it's Friday for so we're going nonstop, and I'm
You're
flying.
Just wishing. You're just
I know
wishing.
I say this all the time, and probably the thing that that I most say on the radio is I say this all the time, but
there's always a but.
But it's been a busy day. It's been it just from.
Well, it's May, so
it's May. Busy. From people think that Holy Week is the busiest week of the year, and it is a very busy week, and it's beautiful, but it's very busy because there's so much preparation. But it's after that when things get really, really crazy busy.
That's when everything picks up.
Yeah, you've got Holy Communions, graduation, confirmations. You've got the end
baptism.
Of the school, all increase in weddings and baptisms.
That's right.
And all that, and then there's all kinds of other things that people die, you know?
Yeah, you don't plan that.
You can't plan that. So today it's just been, I literally flew into the studio with no preparation whatsoever because I had other things that demanded my attention, and that's what it is to be a pastor of a multi-ethnic, multilingual parish.
It's the ER.
It's ER.
Where everybody's welcome. No inclusion.
Church doors are open.
No, church doors are always open, and we want to be, and I want to be accessible to people as best as I can. I wish I could. I told somebody last week, they said they wanted me to come to the hospital. I had been to the hospital a few weeks before to anoint this gentleman who God give him rest, he eventually died. But then a couple of weeks later, or just actually, you know, the day before he died, the family, very nice family, came and wanted me to come and anoint him and visit him. And I just I can't do it. My schedule is just jam packed. And
you have to start by locating Father.
Well, this is a point I want to make. So I said, you know, he's been anointed. He made a very, very good confession. He was anointed. I said, you have nothing to worry about. I will, you know, certainly have, and we've been praying for him and for the family and all that. And then as they were leaving, I said, but now listen, I said, if you should see me there this afternoon, then you know I'm a saint because I've bilocated exactly as you said. But it's like the time there was just no space whatsoever. No space whatsoever.
It must be a horrible feeling for you when you know you can't
Terrible.
Be everywhere.
Terrible. That's the biggest. I think that's the heaviest cross that I carry is that you can't be all things to all people. I certainly don't want to go through life with a messianic complex. But I just know how important it is for people when presence is very important, and that's always been our policy is to be accessible, to be present to people, to do what we can. But
you're only one person.
And the other thing, quite frankly, is in all the years of my priesthood in those many years, 37 years, almost 38 years. Can you believe that? It'll be
this
38,
month, right?
Yeah. Wow. 38 years. But, you know, it's just, I'm busier now than I've ever been. It's just, I think part of it is that we're dealing with so much of the stuff being caused by the stresses of life today in the world, you know, that it's, because Christina, you remember, Christina was working here for, what, 25 years, but even back when you started, when we had you, because we had the community has changed completely, but that door was open, there was constant people coming through the door. Because people lived in the neighborhoods and they had easy access to the parish, and whereas now people come from far away.
Yeah.
So the doorbell doesn't ring as much, but we're dealing with, I've got office hours now too, by the way, you know, and even then people get frustrated because I can't get in to see you until the middle of June. And I'm thinking, you know, if I were a doctor, that would be kind of the case.
I was just going to say that. That's how the doctors, now that I'm, you know, my parents' caregiver.
Yeah,
you have to schedule appointments in advance, sometimes it takes months to see the doctor.
And you can't. There comes a point where you know. I always think of Jesus, especially in the Gospel of Mark, because in Mark's Gospel, it's very pointed that he's always. And it's not that he's trying to get away. He's trying to get away from the people, not because he doesn't love the people. But because he's got to recoup energy, as I've said so often, you know, fully human and fully divine. Jesus is fully human, fully divine, but in his sojourn, when he was with us in the flesh, his humanity put certain limitations on his divinity, and so he got tired. And I always think of the one gospel where. I love the gospel story. Everybody's hemming in on him, and this woman who had been sick for, I think there's two different accounts of this in two different gospels, but one 12 years, one it said 18 years, but she had been suffering a real sickness for so long, and she. She thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. And she did. She crawled on the ground, and she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus stopped, and he said, somebody touched me. And the disciples are saying, Lord, everybody's touching you. He says, no. He says, somebody touched me because I felt power go out of me. And she says, "Sir, I did." And he says, "Woman, your faith has healed you." And she was cured of her sickness. But the point is that when you're as we all know, all of us, this is not just me; it's everybody. When we're dealing with people, we're expending energy, you know, depending on the situation and all that. But it's and there's a point where you're completely depleted, and you need to recoup. Or as somebody said a couple of weeks ago, and I started to use this, you got to conserve energy for something that's coming up, right?
So that's right.
We all know that because you just can't keep going. You can't. Although Sundays, by God's grace, I do. You know, by the grace of God, on Sunday I go from early in the morning, start 7 o'clock, right through the night. Usually I'm back in the confessional after the evening mass, and we've got confessions in the afternoon. So after all the masses, confession, and then there's a little bit of a break. And sometimes that little bit of a break is a little bit of a break because confession goes beyond 3 o'clock, and I sometimes don't get out until 3:20 or 3:30, or even at one point it was 3:45, and then I have to be back in the confessional at 4:30. So I always just go to my chapel and conserve energy, recoup, you know, just be still and know that God is God. And anyway, Christina knows what it's like, because she's lived it.
Was there?
Yeah.
So anyway,
but you're always in our prayers, Father.
No, and right, I'm not complaining. Yeah. I'm just saying
because
it's not just me. It's just people's reality. People are, you know, with all the technology and all these things that are supposed to make life much easier.
Doesn't
it just seems like life is there's more stress than ever before for people. If we could, I probably mentioned this last week Sandlot. I think I mentioned both days, because I had mentioned to the people, you know, if we could go back to the days of Sandlot, that beautiful little movie of those boys with their bicycles and they're playing baseball, and the baseball gets they hit the ball over the fence, and there's this it was just a beautiful that's just a funny movie, one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, I think, you know. And I forget the name, there's this vicious animal behind the fence, and nobody wants to they want to retrieve the ball, but they don't know how, and so they go through all kinds of different things. They do
adventures,
all these different things. It's an adventure.
Life is an adventure. Yeah.
And it is really
the moral
funny
of the movie.
But what I would say, yeah,
the moral of the movie,
the adventure. Well, I say, you know, like life is a sacred adventure. Mm-hmm. It's a pilgrimage, but for us who have faith, we have to translate this pilgrimage into a procession, right? A religious procession through life. Or I love that quote, St. Cyril of Jerusalem. Can I remember it? Because I quote it a lot, and I have it in my book as a lead way into the last chapter, that we all go to the home of the Father, but we have to pass by way of the dragon to get there, or something to that effect, you know. And so it is. So anyway, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to like I said, I've been going nonstop all morning. Nothing to do with the radio, but to do with the nuts and bolts of the parish. You know, there's besides dealing with people, you got to deal with the finances, and you got to deal with the you know, thank God, you know, I have an operations director and a good staff and all that, but we're not a big staff. We're a skeletal staff. Actually, a little bit bigger than we were when you were here, Christine. It was just you.
It was just me.
I think back and I feel bad, and I want to make a public apology.
On-air apology.
Exactly. How you and I got through all those years basically alone. I mean, we had, you know, volunteers, you know, your mother, your father, and others. I'm talking about on a day-to-day basis, yeah. but basically you realize you and I were the only ones employed in the office.
In the office.
And yet I put you through the mother's plea. You were she was having to type these all these things out and
translating
all this kind of stuff. But we did it
by God's grace.
Yeah, but when you think about that, wasn't it?
When I think about it, and I'm like, I don't know how we did it, but. And God was merciful.
And you'd never want to come back, right?
It was challenging. I have good memories, but it was challenging. It was deadlines we had to keep.
But that's the thing, too. You know, it's just in a parish, you've got to meet deadlines. That's one of the things, too, this morning. I had to get really, really early. I try to exercise early in the morning to get energy, you know, for the day. I need that. But the... of course, I knew as I exercise, I listen to the news, and that can kind of bring you down sometimes.
It's overwhelming.
It's
too much.
And then I make my holy hour, and that's certainly strength. Is if not for that, I couldn't do what I do. But because today's Tuesday, so the deadline has to be met for the bulletin tomorrow. And that's the other thing too. Because we're going to be dealing with. The finances, which again is part of the practical, the nuts and bolts reality of the parish is you've got to have money, right? You've got to be able to sustain yourself and maintain the parish and the school. And so I've got to address that again with the people. We have to do this every so often, you know, because... You know, it's amazing how people still put just a dollar, and I'm really challenging everybody out there. But Antonio, you're an usher, so you know.
Yeah.
But I guess the young people have to we have to teach them of the importance of sacrificial offering. And so I say, if, as I've said in the past many times to the people, you know, it's the biblical law is that you give 10%, you offer 10% of your salary that goes to God. Which seems like a lot, doesn't it? I mean, when you think about it, but I just ask, you know, 1 hour, we don't, that's not the law of the church, but it's a biblical, it's a biblical mandate,
right,
basically. But if people would just give 1 hour, and this is for everybody listening, whatever parish you belong to, because parishes, you know, we don't get support from the government. Well, in the sense that we're tax exempt, I mean that certainly is a big help, and that's why we have to.
How long is that going to be?
Well, that's a good question. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very good question. As the times are a changing, right? Mm-hmm. But but if people could give rather than put just a dollar in the basket or a few coins to give 1 hour of your salary, so I was. Actually, somebody came up with these stats for me, but that the median income in Chicago is $60,000. Median family income is $60,000, which means that if we ask for 1 hour of your salary as your contribution to the parish, your offering to God. To sustain and maintain the parish and the mission, then if the median income is $60,000, that would mean that you would give, and if we're asking only 1 hour of your salary, that means only $28.80. I believe that's what it was, $28.80. If everybody were to give, just say $20, right? If everybody that came to Mass would just give $20, that would, can you imagine the change that would be in our collection? In the suburbs, they do much, much better, it seems to me. So maybe it's, you know, maybe I'm the culprit here, you know, whatever, I don't know.
No, Father, I've been thinking about this, and, you know, sometimes I will sit and say, how do I, you know, I think about what people go through and the things. I don't think people understand. That's why I think, and I know you hate to ask for money. I know it too, because I think about it too. I would, if I was in your position, I would hate it too. But I really think people just don't understand.
It's
a matter of, I mean, not to belabor, you never hit people over the head. I believe in everything. You never do that. So I think to talk about it in that respect, because I think a lot of it too is, people don't want to give because they're afraid of where that money is going, and they don't realize that, yes, there's lights, there's gas, and
right,
there's things
right,
that, you know. But
people, and we're a big church.
It's a big, that's what
and
people
it's open
don't
24/7,
think.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't think that the church has to pay the bills, too.
And we have to pay the archdiocese. You know how much we pay the archdiocese? And I mean, I'm not going to go into that, but
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a lot of money
it's
that goes to
money.
The archdiocese.
But I think that's what it really is, because I know if you ask, and people do say that, well, you won't get unless you ask. But I think there are people that's the things that are in their mind. You know, is this
right.
Where's this money going to? This is going to, you know, all this. A lot of people don't understand. They don't understand the process. They don't understand, you know, even like, and I feel bad too, because, you know, I see people, one of my things is when you throw change in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I see people the way they do it. They kind of toss it in there, or they fold the money into little things. And I just say to myself, I'm sure that maybe is because I know people have their traditions, or it's the way they always done it. But I always wonder, why? Why do you do that?
But people have to be told, because sometimes they're not thinking. You have to tell them, well, how much do you pay for your utilities?
Exactly.
Compared, sure. Like you said, Father, the church is huge.
Yeah.
I have to pay for that. And we're not. Church is not charging for the sacraments or the services. It's
right.
not that. It's just the maintenance
and
of the church.
And as God is my merciful judge, I don't have my own little jet. Or, you know, I saw this thing on these mega churches and all that. And, you know, it's amazing Because I'm not complaining because I have room and board and I have a car and all that, mm-hmm. and people bring me food. So after the mass last night, I had confessions, and then one of the penitents was at mass but wanted to receive communion. So I mm-hmm. said, sure, that's getting late, you know. But and I noticed there were about four guys kind of roaming through the church, and then they were by the lighting candles or by the they were by the candles. So yeah. I gave communion. I thought you have to always wonder, but I thought no, I'm going to go out because they seemed like decent people, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody is basically decent, but you got these bad characters. Well, I'll just tell you this in a moment too, but. Anyway, so I thought, you know, rather before I lock up, I'm going to lock my, because the door's open, mm-hmm. church mm-hmm. is open, but I went over and said, you know, how you guys, you know, what brings you here? Have you been here? And really nice guys for mm-hmm. you. So we had a nice conversation. It was just great. And they were happy that I took the time to talk to them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say, you know, everybody is decent. No. Did you read about that? I mean, this is the world we're living in today. It was so bizarre among many bizarre things, mm-hmm. but this is why you almost want to stay away from the news. But a guy that killed an Uber driver and then dismembered and ate his body.
Ooh.
And you see the picture of this guy and you think you're looking at the devil incarnate.
Yes.
The face, and I mean,
the look
completely,
in the eyes, right?
complete. The face is completely tattooed, completely, and it just looks so. Well, it is. It's so diabolical. But who would ever? I mean, what would provoke somebody to do something like that?
Evil.
Or like the poor family in Texas, at Honduras.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And there was a guy out next door, and he was just firing away, shooting away, you know, his gun. And they just asked him if he'd please, you know, would you refrain from shooting your gun, you know? And he went in and he executed, I think, five members of the family. And some of them only survived because their mothers threw their bodies over the children to protect their children. Really some bizarre stuff going on.
And it's becoming more common. You see all these young men tattooing their faces. Something that you didn't see back then. Yeah,
You
never saw that. And now it's becoming more common.
So I have nothing against tattoos, but again, you today want to make this a thing that everybody wants to do, but in reality, then you don't realize that people are then worried of somebody like that. And you don't want to be that guy that says, well, you know, I have something against tattoos. But then when you see that, you know, these people are going to do something like you just described or whatever, you drop your guard.
Yeah, what is that? What's that all about? And we talked about this before, you and I did, because I rarely go out to eat. And this was years mm-hmm. ago. This was many, many years ago. I went to a hamburger place. Somebody took me to a hamburger place. This is before I was really kept the schedule that I have now, and I had gone to this hamburger place over where you lived.
Exactly.
And I was just shocked. You know, all the employees were their bodies
tattooed.
Were completely tattooed. Yeah.
And I mean, I wouldn't do that. And I think I am one of those people that I know my limitations. Honestly, if I would get a tattoo, I would want a lot of tattoos, not to that extreme.
You'd want a lot of tattoos.
I would.
I mean, I have nothing against a tattoo. My father had a nice tattoo of
that's what
American
I'm saying.
Eagle on his arm.
My tattoos probably wouldn't be something that would be visible. Now today, it's like it's all over it's called a sleeve all over the arm.
Well, why would
the
you face. Want many tattoos?
It becomes, to me, it becomes an addiction. Once you start, you can't stop.
Yeah.
But do people not realize, and they don't, obviously,
no.
that, you know, 10 years, 20 years down the road, you know, body's going to change quite a bit. And those tattoos
well,
are not going to be.
I have an answer for that. Look around you today. I mean, that would have been my thing 40 years ago. I would be thinking about. But today it's actually, it's accepted. I mean, where are the odd ones commenting on it? Because I'm sure there's many people that, hey, why are you messing with tattoos? It's just like it's everywhere now. And I see people like that. And I am notorious for, and I probably get this from my mom. You know, I've learned to trust my instincts. And a lot of times when I see stuff like that, I get on alert. I'm worried. I'm looking. What's going on? I'm always aware. But I'll be honest. I prejudge sometimes. And sometimes somebody with tattoos all over their face are the nicest people. But my thing is, do you want to take the mistake that, okay, you're being cautious or you're not being cautious and you're thinking, oh, I love everybody, and that's the guy that's going to eat me.
Really. I sit there, it's just these fads that come and go, but this is a fad that's going to stay, you know.
It's getting worse. I mean, I have to.
Sometimes I think about, okay, youth, because I know when I was a teenager, when I was in high school, you know, people thought we were odd because we had long hair and bell bottoms and I don't know what else we had. But, no, I didn't know. In my day, there weren't earrings. You know? We didn't have the earrings. That came in, that was the 80s, I think.
It's an interesting thing. I work with a guy at work. He works with me at, you know, and he's an older gentleman, but I mean, he still got the earring on. And I always mess with him. I says, you know, I grew out of that years ago. Why are you still? I just like it. I like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Live and let live.
I saw a guy, a checkout person at one of the grocery stores, the chains, you know, I'm not going to say which one. Pink fingernails and a beard and tattoos. And then what's the other thing? The pierced nose and pierced ears. Yeah. And
different color hair.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I wonder with this. And again, I'm not knocking it. But people do this, I guess, to be
They call it expression of. They want to express themselves.
Right, but to be an individual, because nobody's doing that.
And, but then everybody's, but everybody's no longer doing it. Right, right.
What's to be, you know, original?
So, you know, I remember seeing that this is kind of related, but it's because I'm thinking a parental control, you know, like in my household, you know, my father, I mean, things you just didn't do. You had to, you know, again, during the summer my buddies were all going to the beaches. We lived in a beach town. My father said, you're not going to the beach. You're going to get the lawnmower and you're going to go out and you're going to mow lawns. And I wasn't happy about that at all, as I, you know, imagined that they were having all this great time, grand time at the beach all day, and I'm here in the Florida under the
sweating,
humid, working hot. Hard.
Yeah, but I thank God every day for this. But I was thinking when we were talking about this, I'm thinking, well, what about parental control? And I saw this, and we might have talked about this once before. It was years ago, I think. But this family was going out to dinner. This was on. I saw it on YouTube, and the. So the daughter, as they're all getting ready to go into the car, the teenage daughter came out and she's wearing short shorts. Mm-hmm. I mean, short shorts, right? And the father said, "No, you're going to change. You're not going to go dress like that." Mm-hmm. And she threw a tantrum and all that. And I think the mother kind of defended her and all that. So you know what the father did? He went upstairs, took a pair of jeans, cut the jeans into short shorts, and he wore the short shorts. And here's what happened. So they went to dinner. So they went out to eat. Okay, so the father is making a point. You know, this is a middle-aged man. You know, it really looked fun. It was so funny. And
very original.
So on the way home, he said, you know, we're going to stop by and get ice cream at this ice cream place. Well, now she knew that that's where all her friends hang out.
Nice.
So he purposely took them to where all her friends were, so that they could see her crazy dad in short shorts as he went up to buy the ice cream for the family. She was completely completely
totally embarrassed.
You know, so I thought that was a nice, kind of a good lesson the father taught the child, you know. So.
That's good when you break it down like that. And that was a little extreme, but still, it made the point. And that's what I think, you know, getting back to even when we're talking about, you know, what you sacrifice in a mass for, you know, it is a sacrifice also, especially if you can't. Mm-hmm. There's one thing, if you can't afford, you know, your base salary. It's one thing, but most people can. But to tell people to look at it that way, which is, I'm glad you did that a long time ago, because that's the mm-hmm. way I started looking at it too. Yeah. But then I started to realize, well, yeah, there is electricity. Going back to the collection again. Yeah. But I thought it was a good way.
How do we get away from that?
We
into
do
this
that.
Other stuff. Yeah,
we do.
No, I was just talking about how the world is today.
I
think when people. Spend a few weeks just telling people, and I think that's
we all
need to be reminded of this all the time.
And people need to, you have to break it down to people, literally. Yeah. Like, yeah. We have to be specific. That's what I learned when I was working here.
Right.
I had to explain and sit down and break it down so that, oh, okay. Because it happened to me with this man. He came and he started complaining, well, how come the church charges this for the candles and the baptism? And I had to break it down, well, you know, talking about the utilities. And he said, you know, that makes sense. I never thought of it that way. I never thought.
People don't. They don't.
Well,
they
we were talking the other day about two collections. You know, we always have two collections. And I really, you know, why do we have two collections? But see, if everybody would give 1 hour of their salary, we wouldn't have to have two collections. But we have that second collection either for specifically going to the electricity.
But see, this is the things, Father, and I can say this. I have people ask all the time, where is this going?
Where is this going, yeah.
And you know, I can only say what I know. This, you know, I look in the bulletin, well, this week is for, you know, parish needs. And people are very, I sense that they don't, because they don't know where that money is going. And even if you would tell, you know, I remember we used to have it in the bulletin of all the expenditures.
Well, we need to do that again. So like even this one, I'm not going to go into the specifics, but just the idea that, you know, the collections have gone down. And so we have to remind people. But on the other side, our people are very generous. And so there's two things, you know. Number one. And this is, again, for everybody to, as you, whatever parish you belong to, my hope would be you come and you consider yourself part of our parish. Because that's the one thing I write this in the letter, and I'll say it in the house. You know, I always say, I've said thousands of times, you know, if you step through these doors, I consider you a member of the parish. And at the bidding of Our Lady, you know, that we open the doors and keep them open. So that people come, they belong to other parishes, but they come and they pray, and we've really worked very, very hard to for the restoration of the church and the beauty of the church, and so that is to the credit of people's generosity. And so I'm just thinking, like, right now we're doing a restoration or renovation of the. A part of the lower church, as well as building a new bathroom. What you think about it in those days, by the way, people, so you understand that we're an inner city parish. So in the days you had, we're St. Stanislaus Kostka, we were the first, just a block away is Holy Trinity, a big parish like ours, across the expressway, just kitty corner is St. John Cantius, another big parish. All three had schools. There were four high schools right here on Division Street, you know, and then St. Stan, two girl high schools, Catholic high schools, two male boys Catholic high school, Holy Trinity. My father went to Holy Trinity. And then it was, I don't know if they called it Gordon Tech at the time, but it was, and I still can't figure out that one building is this St. Stanislaus Kostka College. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's behind Holy Trinity. It's an old building, and on the very top it says St. Stanislaus Kostka College.
Wow, I never saw that. I have to look at that.
You're just right around.
I'm right here, yes.
Two blocks from where you live. I've always wanted to know what that exactly was. And that might have been the other high school.
Probably.
Because you had Holy Trinity, you had Holy Family, girls' high school, Holy Trinity, boys' high school. That's where my father went to high school. What became Gordon Tech, but was eventually moved from here to and is no longer in existence. And then you had St. Stanislaus Koska High School for girls.
That's
so,
right.
But the what's the point that I'm trying to make is
about the bathrooms.
Oh yeah, so you think about it in the day. Mm-hmm. You didn't need bathrooms in the church. You didn't have parking lots because everybody walked to church. Everybody lived within close proximity to the church because in these inner cities, the inner city of Chicago.
Plus, then we always had Pulaski Park here, who there was, you know, people.
But another thing, bathrooms. Is that the bathroom, I always thought, how did they do it with one bathroom and the church was packed, the balcony and all these masses simultaneously? Right. Well, back then, people fasted how many hours? So nobody ate before Mass.
I had never thought about that. It was a 12-hour fast.
12-hour. So who? You didn't need to go to the bathroom.
Maybe that was the reason for the 12-hour fast. No, I never thought of that. That's very interesting. I should have to bring that up in the as we're talking about, because we're putting in a big new bathroom. So we took the one bathroom we had, which was a little bathroom, made that little bathroom
split it in half.
Bathrooms. They look worse than they're tinier than
a
bathroom in an airplane.
Yeah.
And but we're thinking about we're now deciding whether or not we're going to just do away with both those little bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to have a big bathroom on the North Tower, washroom or restroom or whatever you want to call it. It's not a bath. I don't know why I call it bathroom because nobody's going to take a bath there, but it's a restroom.
The restroom.
So that'll be on the north side, but it'll only be one. And then but on the lower church, there will be men's
and women.
And women's.
And is that handicapped accessible?
Handicapped accessible. The problem is that it'll only be open. We can't keep that open all the time because you have to have somebody there. But it will be open for on Sundays, and then we have a meeting area and a place where people can gather after the Mass. So, but yeah, that's a very interesting point you make there about the fasting. I never thought of that, but the point being is that people, you didn't need a parking lot because everybody walked to church.
That's right. Yeah.
You didn't need bathrooms really because people. Lived in close by, and they fasted 12 hours. You know,
I think about it where our parking lot is now, when it was the other building, the school.
The school, right? The
there
elementary
was no,
school.
It was just that little courtyard, but it was not for parking.
There was no parking.
Right. There's no parking. Also, in our neighborhood, you can still see them, the bathhouses.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
So people didn't have bath. They had to go to the bathhouses.
Yep.
To the park.
Because there was no indoor plumbing. Even the bathrooms were outside, underground.
Underground, under the sidewalk.
When I think of the park, that's what it was. It was actually bathhouse, and it was
the public restroom.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. So.
That's why, I'm not going to go into details.
Let's just say, we'll take a break. Yes. Now, let's say a prayer. Nick, I feel bad that we didn't even get into the prayer. We're just rambling here. But interesting conversation, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes... Sometimes you got to do that, you know. There's if God would give me the time for making good preparation for radio, it would be a nice thing. But sometimes it just doesn't happen. So, but let's do pray, and then we'll take a break. And this is the second day of May. Hard to believe it's the month of Our Lady. And I just pull out an article I just saw. I haven't read it, but I'll share it with you one way or the other. So, but let's pray before we take the break. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Queen of heaven, rejoice, alleluia, for he whom thou didst merit to bear, alleluia, hath risen, as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia, because the Lord is truly risen, alleluia. Let us pray. O God, who... by the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, hast vouchsafed to make glad the whole world. Grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may lay hold of the joys of eternal life through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus,
I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Athanasius,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio, on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Listeners to Catholic Radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic Radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic Radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change, TNTC. Tony, Nick, Tony, and Christina. And, well, I have this article here, but I didn't get a chance to read it. I just pulled it out before I came. We are in May, the month of the Blessed Virgin. 2 months that are dedicated to the Mother of God. The month of May and the month of October. May, certainly because of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima, the first apparition on the 13th of May and the last apparition on the 13th of October. That was the day of the great miracle. And it's also Mother's Day, and Christina, you've got all the knowledge over here, but why is May... the month of Our Lady, or October. Let's say May. We're just talking about May now. Something to do with spring, too.
With the flowers, you always think of our Blessed Mother, you think of the roses, the flowers, that she's the most beautiful among all the flowers.
The
mystical rose.
The first flower to come to full bloom, right? Yes. The mystical rose.
So it's like April showers bring May flowers.
Yeah.
There's not many showers in April this year.
Yeah, there's been a lot of showers.
Really? Actually, and we had really hot days, but now it's still kind of
cold.
I don't remember a lot of rain in May or in April. There's a few days it rained, but used to be there was a lot of rain to make the flowers come up.
I don't know. I think we go through this every year, so we keep thinking, when is summer going to come? And then when it comes, we're not happy.
Or the spring that never sprung.
The spring that never sprung. But anyway, it is. I do encourage everybody
to pray the rosary. It's the month of the rosary, too. Is that October?
October is the month of the rosary, but May is by tradition also. I mean, the rosary, the Mother of God asked, and you've got your rosary right there. I keep my rosary always close to me.
I make it right here. I do now that I have more time. Not that I'm not doing anything, but I do pray the rosary daily because it does, dealing with a lot of, stress, the stress of life, the anxiety, and it just brings me so much peace.
Well, my day always begins with the rosary. I mean, after I exercise. I have to exercise, and then I go to the chapel, spend at least an hour in the chapel, and the rosary, and then I use the beads for
The chaplet?
Well, the chaplet as well, but I pray that at different times during the day.
Sure.
Because I slip in, slipping out of the chapel all the time, because the chapel's right next to my office. And But I like those little prayers this is the lead into the rosary, using the rosary beads, and I've mentioned this before, but on the first decade, I always say, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. So I say that 10 times, and then on the second decade, Jesus, mercy, I trust in you, 10 times.
Oh.
And then on the third decade, here I am, Lord, I come to do your will, 10 times. And then on the fourth decade, speak, Lord, your servant listens. And then on the fifth decade, and I always do this in Spanish. Ben, Espíritu Santo, lléname con tu Espíritu Santo.
Yeah,
it just sounds nicer in Spanish.
Yeah.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it does.
Ben, Espíritu Santo, lléname con tu Espíritu Santo. And then sometimes I'll add other prayers, like, the repetition in the prayer is just, it's not in the Bible, people say, but Jesus is, don't you repeat your prayers, you don't have to. Repeat. Well, you don't have to shout to God. God hears. You don't have to say anything. He says, "Go into your inner chamber, into the inner sanctum of your soul. Shut the door and be still. Know that God is God. You don't have to say anything. Your Father knows everything." But as human beings, we're in dialogue. We're in communication. And the Lord gave us the first formula prayer, right? The Our Father. Those seven petitions.
But it's also for our own well-being, or we have to remind ourselves. So the repetition, again, here, like Tony said, we have to be reminded. Exactly. So we're reminding ourselves.
Today more than ever, because we are so distracted, you know, that it's just, because we all know, and I mean, this is the complaint I hear from so many people. I get distracted when I'm praying the rosary. I say, this, it's normal, you know, your mind's going to wander, but you come back, and that's where the repetition helps you to just come back. You know, it's, if you're in a difficult situation or whatever, you know, you're up against a real challenge, whatever it might be, and it's just like, Lord, show me the way, right? Just Lord, show me the. Or I more and more I'm saying, you know, hazme santo, no?
Yeah.
Make me a saint, and not you know that I have my God forbid that. There'd be an image of me on and candles lit and
the incense.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm speaking about, you know, I don't want to get in the way.
Sure.
Let me not be an impediment.
But that's our goal. Our goal is to become saints. That's the only way we could get into heaven, no?
Yeah, what's the alternative?
But there is that beautiful moment too, especially for people that don't have the time. I was one of those people. So I would keep trying, but then there are moments when you go to a rosary and you don't even know there's a peace.
Right.
And you don't even know that it's finished. There's God gives you that moment. And that's, for me, what I search for.
Yeah, it's good you mentioned that, because it's not always distractions.
Yeah.
There are, and that's what you see, especially in the older people, that they are, I saw it in my grandmother. I mentioned this many times, you know, that, you know, I was just mesmerized watching her pray the rosary, because she really was, it was like she was in a different sphere, you know, that she had almost, as if she were,
like a glow.
A glow. It's like she was in a different world.
A disposition.
Like she was like an out-of-body experience, you know. And you see her moving her lips and, you know, the rosary beads, you know, running through her fingers. And actually, I love that in the apparition of St. Bernadette, when the Blessed Mother appeared to her praying the rosary, and I have to go back and find that. I think it's in the old, I wonder if it's, when's her feast day?
Who's St. Bernadette?
St. Bernadette. It's in
February. That's a good question. There's so many saints.
It's in February. Let me see if I've got it. I've got the breviary right here, but I think it might be before Advent, or Lent, rather. Or maybe not. Let's see. It's in February. Because she speaks about praying the rosary. It must be, because St. Agatha is the 5th of February. Bernadette would be right around that. Is it the 8th? Let's see. Tony, are you looking that up?
Yeah,
he's looking that up. Now, I think it's so appropriate that we celebrate the month of May for our, not only our Blessed Mother, but our earthly mothers too.
Right. So she said, let me just, because it is beautiful, you know, she said, this is St. Bernadette. I had gone down one day with two other girls to the bank of the river Gave, when suddenly I heard a kind of rustling sound. I turned my head toward the field by the side of the river, but the trees seemed quite still, and the noise was evidently not from them. Then I looked up and caught sight of the cave, where I saw a lady wearing a lovely white dress with a bright belt. On top of each of her feet was a pale yellow rose, the same color as her rosary beads. At this, I rubbed my eyes, thinking I was seeing things, and I put my hands into the fold of my dress where my rosary was. I wanted to make the sign of the cross, but for the life of me, I couldn't manage it, and my hand just fell down. Then the lady made the sign of the cross herself, and at the second attempt, I managed to do the same, though my hands were trembling. Then I began to say the rosary while the lady let her beads slip through her fingers without moving her lips. When I stopped saying the Hail Mary, she immediately vanished. I asked my two companions if they had noticed anything, but they said no. Of course, they wanted to know what I was doing, and I told them that I had seen a lady wearing a nice white dress, though I didn't know who she was. I told them not to say anything about it, and they said I was silly to have anything to do with it. I said they were gonna. I said they were wrong, and I came back next Sunday feeling myself drawn to this place. The third time I went, the lady spoke to me and asked me to come every day for 15 days. I said I would, and then she said that she wanted me to tell the priest to build a chapel there. She also told me to drink from the stream. I went to the cave, the only stream I could see. Then she made me realize she was not speaking of the cave, and she indicated a little trickle of water close by. I'll pause here as I try to turn the page. These are very thin pages. Very thin.
So. Very, super.
So when I got to it, I could only find a few drops, mostly mud. I cupped my hands to catch some liquid without success, and then I started to scrape the ground. I managed to find a few drops of water, but only at the fourth attempt was there sufficient for any kind of drink. The lady then vanished, and I went back home. I went back each day for 15 days, and each time, except one Monday and one Friday, the lady appeared and told me to look for a stream, wash in it, and to see that the priests build a chapel there. I must also pray, she said, for the conversion of sinners. I asked her many times what she meant by that, but she only smiled. Finally, with outstretched arms and eyes looking up to heaven, she told me she was the Immaculate Conception. During the 15 days, she told me three secrets, but I was not to speak about them to anyone, and so far, I have not. That was in 1858 that Our Lady appeared to St. Bernadette, and it was from there that we had the waters, the miraculous waters of Lourdes. So it's a beautiful place. If anybody's not been there, it would really be well worth to make a pilgrimage there. It would be just beautiful. And also at Fatima. But at Fatima, too, Our Lady said, pray the rosary daily. Pray the rosary for conversion and for peace. And otherwise, she said, you know, Russia would spread her errors throughout the world. And we'll talk about that as we get to the 13th, and we talk about it every year. These children didn't even—they thought Russia was a lady, a woman's name.
A bad woman.
Yeah. And but who would have, you know, this was, and she said the war would end. They were in the First World War. She said if we didn't return to God, there would be the annihilation of nations. She talked about later, she spoke to Lucia, one of the videntes, one of the seers. She said that they would, that there would be this cardinal against cardinal, bishop against bishop, pray for the Pope. She talked about the assault on the family, on marriage, and the like. So, you know, we remind ourselves, if we're not doing it, you know, during the month of May, October, just the importance of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's our mother, the great gift that God gave us before the final gift, before the great, great gift of our salvation. He handed to us his mother to solidify the family. God the Father loved the world so much, he sent his only begotten Son to adopt us, to bring us into the family, and to solidify that family, he gave us a mother.
April 16th, her feast day. April 16th is her feast day.
Whose feast day?
St. Benedict.
February.
Well, it says February also.
Yeah, okay.
But she died on the 16th.
Ah, got it, okay. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you, child.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell. It's time to be stirred. The time.